Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, that lion horns on the right babe. Not that Maggie. But up.
Two on the fan. McMonagle here with you on this now Monday morning. 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. We got you all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Fliegelman on the other side. And we made it. That's right, we made it. Short weekend for me. I was in for Keith Friday. We did a lot on the New York Giants and their quarterback decision to bring in Jameis Winston. We'll get to the baseballs that obviously is here. It's the week. Baseball is back. Cut one more spring training game, and we will see you on Thursday. We got plenty of time for that. But we put a bow on, ultimately, for me, a disappointing St. John season. And I'm not sure there's another way to put it. Oh, but Chris, it came out of nowhere, and it was an unbelievable season, and they were a two seed. This was a team that's been nowhere forever, and we've been celebrating it for so long, and I don't care. I'm sorry. You can't end the way they ended. I talked about this. We talked about whether or not St. John's could do anything in the tournament. Is it a good season? Is it a bad season? Like, here's the thing, and this is why I look at it differently. College basketball as a whole is completely different. Yes, this program has found its footing. I knew that the second they hired Pitino. The second they hired Pitino, I knew that this school was going to turn it around to some level. Maybe not win a national championship. That's not easy to do, as we're finding out. But I knew that they would be there. They have the coach. They have the money. They have the ability to recruit. They can play the portal. We know how good he is at recruiting and playing the portal, and he's running towards it while so many other great coaches in the history of college sports are running away from this new era of college sports. So I knew they would be there, but this isn't like these teams are going to be almost uniquely singular. This is not a group of a bunch of freshmen who are going to get a real great, you know, boost, and this is such a learning experience, and they'll be back next year. And like, I expect St. John's to be back in next year at some point, but let's be honest. All right, Edgifer, RJ Lewis, who knows if they'll be back? They're eligible to come back, but maybe they come back. But this isn't the days of old where you would get a young team and you would play them, and then by the time they're seniors, you're ready to win a national championship. Pitino's already talked about not recruiting high school players. They're working the portal. They're changing the whole thing. This is a year-to-year thing. This was a team that was a two-seed. They were one of the hottest teams in all of college basketball. They had the top-ranked defense in all of college basketball. They ran through the Big East like a hot knife through butter. They won the first round by 30 points. They're taking on the 10th-ranked, a 10-seed Arkansas Razorbacks. And now, as you've seen the rest of the tournament play out, where it's pretty much all chalk, first time since 2017 that an 11 seed is not in the Sweet 16, the Arkansas is the highest seed left in the entire tournament. You could argue St. John's just had on Saturday the worst loss of the tournament. And I know that everything played into it. And please, I don't want to hear about the foul calls. I don't want to hear about the officiating. Was it an issue? Absolutely. Was it poorly officiated this game? Absolutely. On both sides. On both sides. That is not why they lost. And I know we went into this talking about their flaws. And we said it. Listen, you get into the tournament and shoot the three, play the D. Got to hit your foul shots to ice the game. Those are all the things we talked about. They were 2 of 22 from 3, 9%. They were 9% from three-point land. They were 20% from the field. And it's not even the three-pointers because we knew they couldn't shoot. And I put out the shooting performance and a bunch of people are tweeting at me, tell me you didn't watch St. John's without telling me. They haven't been able to shoot all year. Yeah, you get into this tournament, you shoot 9% from 3? You hit 2 out of 22, you're not going to win. Plain and simple. And it wasn't even that. It was at the basket. They were 4 for 16 from layups at one point in this game. They couldn't put anything in. And then we talk about what a great second half team they were. And they were all year long, great second half. The first 12 points that Arkansas scores in the second half are right to the basket, to the paint. Defensively, they weren't nearly as good as they've been. They played their worst game in probably 2 months. And for me, we could talk all we want about where the program is now. And yes, there is no doubt the program is elevated. There is no doubt this school is going to be a team in the tournament year in and year out. As long as Patino's there, it'll be the, and I don't know how long that'll be, it's the odd year they won't make it or something. But for the most part, this team's going to be a tournament team with a chance of chasing a national championship. And that's great. And this by no means dampens what this overall program has become. But these aren't building blocks anymore. This isn't a team full of freshmen that are going to really, benefit from the experience they just went through. It's going to be a different team next year. And I know, again, RJ Lewis is going to be there, or is he? Because let's be honest, I know we don't want to kill this coach. And I'll be the first to tell you, he has turned the entire school around. And as long as he's here, the school's going to be in good hands. And I don't know if he was outclassed or outcoached by John Calipari, and obviously that's going to be a discussion. I don't know if he was outclassed. His team shot 2 of 22 from three-point land. Couldn't hit a layup. I'm not sure what he could have done, but I know he could have left in the Big East Player of the Year. And it's like, I know everyone's killing him. I've seen a couple different places. I don't know if you can kill him for this. He was ice cold. There was nowhere else to go. And then I thought, not only did Patino have a bad game, right? The different things we talk about. He takes out RJ Lewis, which makes absolutely no sense. It's not like anybody else is having a good game. This is the Big East Player of the Year. This is your guy. Your best player fouled out. I mean, you already lost Richmond. So, yes, I think it was a terrible mistake to have RJ Lewis on the bench. And then, obviously, not feeding Zubi Ejiofor in the second half after scoring, what was it, 14 or 16 points in the first half. They're not giving him the ball nearly enough down the stretch of this game. Not nearly enough. And then they're shooting up threes with, a minute and a half left, down 4 points, just chucking up threes when they're shooting it at a 9% clip. And then in the post game, I thought Patino sounded ridiculous in the post game. That, we're not going to tell you. Why I took him out. No, we don't know, Rick. We're all puzzled. The broadcast is puzzled. Everyone watching it is puzzled. No, they're speculating he did something wrong, like defensively or something, to put him in the doghouse. Nobody knows why you benched him, Rick. We all know what his numbers were. We all know what his shooting percentage was. We all know the kind of bad game he was having. But I'm sorry. Who exactly was coming off the bench to give him a better chance? Guys who haven't hardly played all year? Guys who average 2 points a game? Guys who are 1 of 8 from the floor themselves and 1 of 3 from six? They didn't have a single player have 2 threes in this game. Who are you going to other than your best player? At least your best player available. And then in the post game, I'm not going to bash a player. Oh, you're not? I'll take you back a year ago when you called your entire team unathletic. You called your entire team unathletic, laterally slow, just not good enough. The worst experience I've had as a coach. Don't tell me you won't kill your players. You kill them all the time. We're all pumped up watching your halftime speech that you put out there, killing the team about being mentally soft, asking how they grew up so mentally soft. But you're not going to say, oh, I benched my best player because he was shooting poorly? You know why? Because it's not a good enough answer. And to not get to the Sweet 16 when they're a 2 seed, the only other 2 seed not in the Sweet 16, in a tournament that has gone completely chalk, in a tournament that has had very little excitement, in a tournament where, you know, the Maryland game, a couple of upsets, not a lot. You know, UConn played like the heart of a champion while losing to Florida. But, I mean, we are talking about one of the more boring, chalk, straight-up tournaments we have seen in a long time. And this 2 seed was outplayed. Outcoached, outplayed, out-toughed, out-everything. And I'm sorry if I'm not going to sit back just because it's the same thing with the Knicks where we're at right now. I'm not going to sit back and just say, wow, what a great year. St. John's is back. Woo. It was a terrible end of the season. Terrible. They completely choked. It was a terrible game. And again, there is no building process here. They're going to have a new team. They're going to hit the portal. They're not even going to bring in young recruits. They're going to go try and shape the team as best it can and go chase a championship next year. And I think they'll do a hell of a job of it. But these years are so uniquely singular that I don't get, oh, well, this was just step one. There is no building blocks. There's no step one. This was a year where they were good enough to win the whole damn thing. They played well enough all year long to win the whole damn thing. They lost 4 games all year long. And that game was atrocious. That game was a train wreck. That game was miserable to watch, and the refs had a part of that as well. And there was a bad foul. Yes, Richmond, that his 5th foul, he goes straight up in the air. It is a terrible foul call. There is no question about it. It's a terrible foul call. It's not why they lost the game. And I'm tired of bitching and complaining about it when it's clearly not why they lost the game, when they shot 9%. Not 19, not 29, 9%. 2 of 22. Well, of course, that's who they were all year. You're not good enough to win shooting 9% from three. Amazingly enough, Arkansas won shooting 10% from three. At least they were 42% from the field. But my main takeaway is horrible, deflating, ultimately miserable loss that doesn't nullify a great year because it was a fun season and it did capture the city. And it has put St. John's back on the map, and I expect them to stay there. But we talked about this with the Met season. Like, this was a season out of nowhere. It was a great run. They got the 2 seed. They belonged at the 2 seed. They earned the 2 seed. They fought tooth and nail all year long to deserve that 2 seed. And then they threw it away, and it doesn't stamp the great year. I'm sorry. It doesn't nullify it, but it also doesn't. We won't look back at the 2025 season. You know, St. John's run as anything other than the first year Pitino had a winner. The first year Pitino had a decent team. The first year they made the tournament, however long, first year they won a tournament game in 20 years. Yeah, okay, all those first. But ultimately, it's a forgettable year. They didn't make it through the weekend. And there are blatant mistakes from this coach. He had a terrible game. He had a terrible post game. Why would you take out R.J. Lewis? Why wouldn't you feed Ejiofor more? And even the strengths of this team, the defensive, they got to the paint at will at the start of the game, at the start of the second half. That's just a fact. And now, I don't know. I mean, it's the building block. Is R.J. Lewis even coming back? He just got embarrassed on a standalone game in the tournament, the whole world watching, wondering why their best player's on the bench. Now, he handled it great after the post game, took responsibility, talked about his bad game, talked about his leadership. Point being, the coach took him and put him on the bench with the whole world watching and the broadcast wondering what the hell is going on. You can't lose that game with Lewis on the bench. Now, I'm not a coach. Patino's a coach. And a great one at that, one of the greatest. And I'm not even sure he got out-coached in this game, other than that mistake and not feeding the ball to Ejiofor enough. I don't know if Calipari did anything groundbreaking to say, oh, he out-coached him. All I know is they were awful at every aspect of the game. And after watching it, I didn't have the feeling of, hey, man, this today's a bummer, but ultimately, wow, what a run. So much fun, so many great wins, Big East regular season, Big East tournament. I mean, that's just it. What a great year. What a great year. That's not how I left it. I left that game sick. I turned it off. I threw the controller into the couch, and I said, man, they did not show up. And it was a terrible game for the coach. It was a terrible game all around. So I'm sorry. I wish I could be the guy who say, hey, what a great job. What a great run. It was a lot of fun. We'll see you next year. It's not even like that. This isn't a young team that's put together a core that's going to be here for the next 4 years. We talk about the Knicks, right? This is just year one, as the owner was telling you on a podcast. Hey, this group's going to be together for the next 3, 4, 5 years. They can have multiple chances to win a championship. Got a young core to build around. Young core. In today's college basketball, there are no young cores. St. John's doesn't have a young core that's back and it's going to learn from this experience. It's going to be a brand new team next year. And I think they'll be a good team, and I think Patino's a great coach, and I think they'll be back in similar situations like this. A 2 seed? I don't know. That's part of it, too. How do we know what's going to happen moving forward? This might be the best chance in the next 3 or 4 years to win a championship. I don't know how long Patino's going to be around. Like, this was it. This was an opportunity. And right now, looking at this field, the Sweet 16, where it's all chalk, they're the one team standing there. They're the one team that got knocked out. They're the one, 2 seed not in this tournament, and it feels like that's the worst loss of the tournament. The 10 seed, that's the highest seed in there. So, disappointing loss. I don't think you can have the worst loss of the tournament and tell me what a great year it was. 888-808-1019. We'll get to Jameis Winston and the Giants. I did a lot of it on Friday as it broke right before I came on. We'll get to, obviously, the baseball starting up this week. A lot of talk about the Met rotation, which I've been talking about for weeks. And I've been saying it for a long time. We call one owner, and I understand the owner's done a great job. He spent a lot of money. He reeled in Juan Soto. If you don't have to take my word for it, there's a 2-part documentary explaining exactly how it happened. But one owner gets called cheap for not making the final move. The other one is lauded. And you look at the rotation and you go, Yankees are an all-in. Is that an all-in rotation? Been saying this for a long time. 888-808-1019. We'll get to that as the season is getting ready to start on Thursday. Now, thanks to St. John's, we'll never know. Me and Fliegelman have been talking about this for weeks. What's the show going to look like on Thursday? Yankees opening day at 3 o'clock. Mets opening day at 4 o'clock. Possibly later in the night, a St. John's Sweet 16. What are we going to talk about when we come on? Now I'll never know the answer to that question because St. John's didn't show up on Saturday. And I'm not happy about it. I'm not going to take this nonsense about what a great year it was. Coach had a terrible day, terrible postgame. His star players played awful. They couldn't make a layup, let alone a three-pointer, which they shot it at a ridiculous clip. And I'm not going to sit back and tell you, oh, well, St. John's is back. Are they? What does next year's team look like? It changes every year. This isn't some building block. This isn't some young core put together that's going to learn from the experience. It's not one of these groups, oh, you got to learn how to, the Pistons needed to lose to the Celtics to learn how to win. The Bulls needed to lose to the Pistons to learn how to win. It's not like that. This was just a miserable game in the biggest spot. They played like crap, and it makes me feel a hell of a lot worse about the season than I did before that game was played.